Hello and welcome to Comic Book Page Podcast. My name is John Mayo. This is a retailer spotlight. We haven't done one of these in really a long time. I think we've done one before, but I realized earlier this year that it has been, that it would be by now, and actually it is now, 10 years that I've been with DCBS, Discount Comic Book Service. So I figured, you know, I have been woefully negligent the entire time I've been podcasting to have been shopping and buying tons of comics through DCBS. And, you know, I mention them obviously a lot, but not having done a spotlight on them. So I'm here to correct that oversight, that error. And I've got Christina with me from DCBS. How are you doing tonight?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing good. So 10 years ago, I was with a local comic shop. They had made a business decision they were perfectly in the right to make of discontinuing their discounts. It was just not financially viable for them at the time. Okay, fine. I don't want any comic store to go out of business. That's just bad.
Right.
But I go in to get my comics one week, and I have this form letter in there dated, and this was on a Wednesday, dated the previous Friday of, oh, by the way, as of the next time you come in here next week, your discount's gone.
Wow.
Yeah. And I used to be an employee there back ages and ages ago when I was in college, so I had one of the larger discounts, 25%, which they were very gracious to extend me. But then I'm thinking, wow, I lose a 25% discount, zero notice, and I buy a lot of comics. I always have, as I think you could probably attest to, actually.
Yes, I can.
And I'm like, wow, this kind of hurts. And frankly, the way the message was delivered kind of annoyed me a little. So I started looking around for an online comic shop. Mm-hmm. And I found you guys, I found, I think, two others, and I was skeptical about buying comics online, getting them through the mail, what if they're damaged, what if they miss something, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. So, as I recall, I sent a fairly lengthy email to Cameron saying, you know, these are my expectations, is this going to work for me, can you do this, and basically, if you can't, that's fine, it's cool, I'll just look elsewhere.
Right.
But if you can, you can. Mm-hmm. And Cameron gave me a really nice response to pretty much all of my concerns. And I don't know that I've ever heard back from the other places.
Oh, wow.
I may have. I have forgotten it.
Yeah.
But it was pretty clear to me pretty quickly that you guys were a place to go and shop with. That was Thanksgiving weekend 2003.
Wow.
And as I recall, I placed an order because I had been doing just off-the-shelf kind of stuff. You guys, of course, do pre-orders, so I had, I think, first order covered like three, maybe four previews or something.
Okay, yeah. And which think, happens quite a bit, actually, yeah.
Oh, I bet, yeah. It's a tough shift to do from a customer perspective. But I think you guys had my first shipment out to me like the Tuesday after Thanksgiving or something crazy.
Oh, wow, that is crazy. of course, we had a smaller customer database then.
Well, and it was for stuff that had just been released. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I've been shopping with you guys ever since. So at that point in time, 10 years ago, how long did you guys, when did you start? How did DCBS become?
Well, about 10 years ago, we would have been 4 years in already. It started, I mean, Cameron has collected comics since he was 6 years old. So when we were dating, he showed me his comic collection. And it was big then, obviously. And I was like, okay, yeah, well, and I really didn't think anything of it that I recall. I mean, we've been married 22 years now, so it's kind of hard to remember. I'm old now.
Congratulations, though, on 22 years marriage.
Thank you. He was an accountant he was actually in a big six firm and then went to another firm and then ended up getting picked up by a client, actually Lincoln Financial, which lots of people know, Lincoln Financial Group. And he was working there, and it was in 99, he was looking on the internet because we had a couple comic shops in town ourselves, but he didn't get much of a discount, if any. I can't remember if he did. But it was very small. It might have been a 10% discount.
Yeah.
But they'd always give him flack for wanting to switch his books out with ones in the store. Because, you know, he's very particular about the condition of his books.
I can understand that.
And he said, I don't understand. If you pull the book for me and I just flip it out, what's the difference? So he, and then another shop that he had actually gone to had burned to the ground. And we're not sure if that was like arson or whatever, but it's like this, you know, this legend or whatever in town. But he was looking around and he was having a hard time finding a place that had a consistent discount, mm-hmm. like where he knew every month what his discount was going to be. So he said, you know, I'm thinking about doing this. I'd like to start the business. I've already looked into, you know, the distributor. What do you think? And oh, you won't have to do anything, which is a joke. Ha ha. Now, but, you know, I think I can do something here. So he started it in June of 99. He created a Microsoft front page website and he, you know, got all his stuff together with Diamond and then just put it up. And we actually have customers today that we've had since that very first month, which is crazy.
Wow. That's great.
Yeah. And then we got started. We used Excel and he made pivot tables in Excel. And then each week we'd get like a large Diamond box. And of course, another benefit to him was that he could get his books at cost.
Mm-hmm.
But he said, you know, I want a consistent discount. I want to give really good customer service, which we both came from a retail background in department stores. So, you know, that was just like a given for us. And I think that's a big part of it. I think a lot of, and I'm not generalizing comic shop owners, but a lot of comic shop owners love comics, but they've never really been in that retail experience of having to take care of customers and, or in a financial, you know, sense either. You know, Cameron was on the finance end. I'm terrible with finances, by the way. We would have been bankrupt long ago if I was running the whole place by myself. So we kind of make a good team that way. He's the one who holds me back on spending crazy stuff and buying everything, you know, under the sun.
Uh-huh.
But he's also creative where he, you know, is constantly looking for the next best thing and the next way to be more efficient or the next way to, you know, do it exactly the way it should be or, you know, whatever. So we started in our basement. We finished the basement, you know, put shelves up, put a couple of 6-foot tables down there and bought a computer and away we went.
How big, I mean, that was 14 years ago and yeah. I know how much I've contributed to the growth of the company because I added up how much I've spent over the 10 years. It's actually an embarrassing large amount. And I know you've got way more customers than I do and I'm sure customers who buy a lot more than I do and some that don't buy that much. But
right.
I've got to imagine over the 14 years that it's been a very interesting growth progression out of that basement kind of into the store you are today.
Right. Oh, it's actually like surreal at some point, you know. I mean, we've had after we had just had our third child mm-hmm. when he decided to start the business. And he's 15 now and it's crazy to think of. I mean, we had really long days and really we did everything ourselves. We worked off volunteers at the beginning. My family, almost every person in my family helped and volunteered for a certain period of time. My sister actually still works for us, has worked for us for 14 years. Mm-hmm. That's Carrie, who answers your emails.
Okay, got it.
Even our daughter, who's 21, she works for us and has worked for us for the last 5 years. The basement... it got pretty harried. There were some growth periods where we didn't know if we were going to be able to handle it. But we did. I mean, we figured it out and we had some computer programming issues where we paid a programming company a lot of money to get us into a like more home built system because the pivot table just stopped working after a while. You know, you can only put so much information in those.
Yeah.
And we were able to, and then theirs blew up and then they were just out of business. And it was a very scary, it was a very scary time because we were still in the basement, but we were getting to the breaking point, just space wise. I mean, it was the time, I don't know if you remember when they had the Justice League animated maquettes.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And we were selling hundreds of each.
Oh,
I mean,
wow.
Just ridiculous amounts. And, you know, in addition to all the books. And at this point, we actually had employees coming to the basement and answering emails and, you know, filling orders. And our neighbor, who was a retired gentleman, would come over and check our Bowen statues. And the neighbor on the other side of us was in high school, and she'd come and work for us and help us ship stuff out. But our garage was full. Our dining room was full. Our living room was getting to that point, and the entire basement was packed. And we just finally reached a point where I said, it's out of here. We've got to do something. And Cameron understood. He knew that we needed more space, and we weren't going to be able to grow if we didn't. Mm-hmm. So we found an industrial park, because really we were an online store. And, you know, 99.9% of what we did, we had a couple people who would come to the house to pick up their books that were, you know, local. Uh-huh. But that was it. So we moved in, my gosh, I can't remember now. It was, what, 11 years ago, probably, into that space. And we never thought we'd be able to fill it up. And then 5 years later, we were like, holy cow, we need more space.
Mm-hmm. It's a good problem to have, I suppose.
Yeah, it is. And actually, we are dealing with that exact same problem in the space we're in now. And we actually just purchased a building.
Wow.
For a brand new location that we should be in about 6 to 7 months.
Cool. Sounds good. So yeah. You're continuing to grow. That's great to hear.
Oh, yeah. InSock Trades actually has seen the most growth in the last year. DCBS has always had a continued steady growth. Mm-hmm. I mean, there have been times, you know, even during the economic downturn, we had some months that were very lean and very scary. Never like out of business scary, just holy cow, you know, the orders aren't where we need them to be. We hope this, you know, picks up, or we are going to be in trouble. But Cameron, being the finance guy that he is, he never has ever let us, you know, ever be over our heads in anything. So
that's good.
We just tightened our belts and made sure payroll was at, you know, the absolute minimum we could keep it at. And, you know, we wrote it out, luckily. So it's been, you know, kind of incredible. Like, I still can't believe it sometimes when I talk to people. It's funny because, you know, none of my friends read comics. Most of the people in my day-to-day life that, you know, in our neighborhood, everything, you know, don't, they have no comprehension. So when I run into somebody in the grocery store or whatever, they're like, oh, what do you do? And I sell comics. They probably wonder, how do you make a living? Like, they really look at me like that.
Well, they're probably thinking they're still being published. Yeah.
Right. Oh, yeah. People are still like, oh, they still make those. I mean, it just kind of cracks me up. But it's amazing how it overtakes your entire life. Anything you do, you know, whatever your profession is, it overtakes your life. But it's, I mean, now my friends just, they know what it's about and whatever. So.
Well, that's cool. Now, when I was working at the comic shop back in college, one of the main things I did every week was pull the books. Mm-hmm. So get up at the crack of dawn. At this point, Friday was New Comic Book Day. This was back in 92. No, it would have been 88, actually.
So, okay.
So get up at the crack of dawn, go over with the owner to the bus stop, or he may have already done that, the bus station, actually. Pick up the books off the bus, get them to the store, unpack them, count them, do the cycle sheets, you know, whatever, pull all the books, because he had a fairly, you know, for a local store, I think, a decent-sized pull service or whatever. Mm-hmm. And there were a couple of times where you would just have, you know, a really big shipment or whatever, and it was just chaotic of, you know, where is everything? And I've pulled books long enough to know how incredibly easy it is just to get tired, to realize about a half hour in, oh, wait, there's the whole table of Marvel over there. How have I missed that for the last half hour?
Well, it's funny how we started out, you know, opening a box and just laying it out and alphabetizing it. And then as we grew, we realized that we couldn't do things the way we were doing them before. Mm-hmm. So that's a big part of managing growth, is saying this is no longer working. This is not efficient anymore. And we've gone through major strides in the last 10 years that you've been with us. I mean, we used to pull them out of the boxes and then we had to check them off the invoice and, mm-hmm. you know, and, you know, today we pull everything out of the boxes. They all get scanned in. They get checked for damage immediately during the scanning process. They get put on an inventory location. And then everything's uploaded into the system before that anyway. And then the system marries up what we've scanned in, and then we, anything that's off, we go back and hand count and make sure.
Makes sense.
It's crazy efficient. It cut our time in a third of what we were doing when we were just counting them in and putting them up and lining them up. You know, we used to have it's much, much different now because we only pull people as they go to ship out, which we changed just over a year ago. It used to be that we pulled every single customer every single week, whatever they got in. You know, we had pick sheets and they picked every single customer. And if they got bagged and boarded, that's when they got bagged and boarded. And we scanned them all still to make sure that they were right because, you know, there are so many variants and cover A, B, C, D and all that. And that just got to be too much then because there were customers who maybe got held and they didn't need to go out, or customers that never paid that we did all this processing. It was just kind of a waste of the processing.
I wouldn't have even thought about that, but that makes a lot of sense. Yeah.
Yeah. And honestly, it got to the point where we had so many customer shelves that if we kept gaining customers, we had nowhere to go. So Cameron came up with the system of maybe let's just pull them from inventory locations. The books have inventory locations, and it was genius because now, you know, we could triple our customer base and it wouldn't matter. I mean, we need the space to put the extra books, but we don't have to worry about getting extra bookshelves for customers. And we're pretty sophisticated. When we put those items on the inventory locations and we know everything is good, then we put people into a queue and then we have a pick team that goes over and they pick off of tablets. And then they print the invoice when they're done with the printing, and it goes to the scanning station, and it goes to the bag and boarding station, and it goes to the taping station, and it goes to the packing station, then the labeling station. So it's all very assembly line. There are lots of checks and balances. Not that there aren't mistakes made, because they're all human beings doing it.
but to that point for just a second, again, 10 years, sure. Weekly shipping. I've had a couple of mistakes over the years, but I would say all of those in terms of the number of comics that were impacted with mistakes or whatever is less than I had at the worst week at one store. You know, it would just take one week where they, you know, well, we didn't pull DC or Marvel for you or something, and suddenly, you know, you've got 15 books that are a mistake or whatever.
Right.
I've been amazed the excellent condition all the books I get come in. The accuracy of the shipping list, the packing list, what I've ordered, what I get and stuff. So, I mean, to me, that's a definite tribute to the quality of the system you guys have put in place and grown over the years.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny. We have so many rules. It's kind of ridiculous, but we tell the staff, we have a weekly meeting with the staff. As soon as we get everything out on the inventory locations, we have a weekly meeting with them. And we basically say, okay, the sales look good or bad, whatever. It's usually always good. And then this is what we have to expect this week. These are the things that the feedback we've gotten from customers. And guess what? We have a new rule that we have to put in place because, you know, this happened. So we have lots of rules and we have lots of ways of, and honestly, there are things where we think this is going to be a great, efficient thing. And it ends up, we don't actually think of some other terrible thing that could happen.
Right.
And then it does happen, and then we fix it with the customer, and then we say, whoops, you know, this is how we have to do it, so this doesn't happen. I mean, we definitely, you know, as far as mistakes go or damages go, it's such a tiny, tiny percentage compared to the number of customers and the number of product, you know, just product in general that goes out the door.
Yeah. No, and it sounds like you've got a very kind of an agile process. I mean, software and stuff, and the whole, you know, do what you need when you need to, and then, you know, look back, retrospect on it, adjust as needed. You know, that's how you grow. That's how you stay, you know, on top of the game and stuff.
Well, 2 years ago, we were able to hire our programmer from the company that we had basically he was with. Mm-hmm. We followed him actually because he went to a different programming or, you know, a different company, and we went to that company, and he's the only one who has ever really gotten the business. It's a very difficult business.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
I mean, it pre-orders and in stock and different scheduled ship dates and cancellations and credits and, you know, I mean, just the whole thing. People just have no idea how convoluted it really is. And his project list is a mile long every day of the week. So, you know, I mean, we always take customer feedback. We always are happy to take all the suggestions that we can. But there's just a constant flow of, you know, ideas to make everything better. And Jason has been a godsend. He's a genius, actually. We joke about it like, oh, Jason the genius, but he really is. I've never seen anyone who's gotten it the way he does. And it's fantastic to have him across the desk from us when we say, I'm starting to ask for crazy stuff now because he gives me stuff and I'm like, no way. Years ago, Cameron said, one day we're going to be scanning all the books. And we were like, no, that's never going to happen. Well, yeah, we scan every book now. One day he told me I wouldn't have to manually put international shipping and fill out the customs forms. And now I don't have to. It's all done by the system. And Jason was able to program that. So that has been the single most wonderful thing that's happened to us is finding Jason and being able to actually have him employed with us, because of course by employing him we get twice as many hours out of him, and he's right here and he's accessible and he's a nice guy
and you know where his focus is.
Now,
does he read comics?
What's funny is he doesn't. Well, he didn't. You'll laugh, but he reads Walking Dead now, and he watches Walking Dead. We just talked about it today at lunch. And he buys his kids lots of comics. But he's read like the first two compendiums. But he also works like ridiculous hours. So I don't know that he gets a whole lot of reading in period. Mm-hmm. But yeah, he wasn't a. That's why I was so shocked by how well he was able to understand the business and he finds things like, just the other day I said, hey, I have a customer whose credits keep going into this one order. I don't know what's going on. And like, you know, 5 minutes later, he's like, oh, it was a weird thing. There was an adjustment in his order and there was a bug there. I got it. It's good. It's fixed, you know? And like, I would have never been previously with the other company, you know, 15 years, I never would have gotten it fixed. I mean, it just would have been just a mystery, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Again, I work in software, and there's stuff that if you've got the time to look into it, you can figure out what's going on. But if it's just do the top priority stuff, certain things is just perpetually going to slide.
Right. Exactly. You know,
it's nature of the beast.
Well, and you know, we're, you know, I'm sure you're aware of our acquisition of Tales of Wonder. And he's been working on that and getting that integrated so that we can, you know, he hasn't been able to do the other stuff on the project list because he has to take care of that.
For the listeners, though, tell us more about that.
Well, Tales of Wonder approached us a few months ago and had said that they were interested in, in selling their URLs and, wanted to know if we were interested. And we took a look at their site. Well, Cameron was familiar with their site anyway, because they were a competitor. And we thought it was a good fit. We actually flew down to Atlanta with Jason to talk to them and see what their systems were like and things like that. And they were super nice guys. They hadn't had the opportunity to really work full time for the last several years with the business. So Joe and Andy were the owners, and Andy had done it full time for many years, and then he kind of was a stay-at-home dad and was a swim coach and was like just ready to get out. He was ready to do something different. And Joe's like in investments, I believe. And he's also publishing. So he said, you know, I'd really like to focus on publishing and we think you guys would be a good fit. So it was kind of a natural thing for us to go ahead and take it over. We were very nervous, as any company is when they acquire another company, right, about, you know, the customers and how they would accept us and whether they would think it was okay. And they have been wonderful. And it's been a great addition. It's kind of like a mix of in-stock trades and DCBS. They never really have done single issues. They've done collected editions, and then and they really actually focus on Marvel mainly, and they did some statues mm-hmm. and things like that. So they have some pre-orders, but they're mainly in stock. So it was kind of a good addition to the in-stock trades thing, and a nice little boost in sales, and it's actually helped, I think, in-stock trades out more than anything, because I know that there are people who would like to go to other places, but they feel loyal to whoever they're with, because uh-huh. they've been with them for, you know, so long. And so I think it was like a natural, like, oh, okay, well, now we can try them out. And,
yeah,
you know, I think that's really how it's happened. But no, it's been great. It's just with anything, we need to get them into our system. So, you know, Jason's worked on doing that. And I think we're really close to being almost complete on that, you know, side of the spectrum. But we also wanted to maintain whatever they were doing. We don't want to go in and say, oh, everything's wrong, you know.
Right.
We need
right.
to fix it all. It's not right at all. You know, we maintain their loyalty program, and, you know, we want to add more products to their product line. And eventually we want to make the site faster, a little more user-friendly, just things like that. But yeah, I mean, it's our first acquisition. It was kind of cool. And we're very happy with the end result.
That's good. It's good. It's a great way to grow your business too.
Right.
Now, with in-stock trades, when did that come into being? What prompted that? I assume that was well after DCBS itself.
Yeah. I can't remember how old in-stock trades is now. I think it's 7 years old, about. We don't even remember. Isn't that funny?
That's
Yeah, but it's about 7 years old. What happened is, and we had a lot of customers who said, hey, why can't I just buy like stuff that's already out? Like, don't you have that kind of stuff? And we were like, well, I guess we could. And Cameron said, you know, the wave of the future really is collected editions. You know, a lot of people were starting, and we know that about 7 years ago, we had mm-hmm. people going away from singles, and they were trade waiters.
Yeah.
So he said, why don't we try this out and, you know, see what it's like. And I came up with the name just because, you know, he came up with Discount Comic Book Service because he wanted the best search, you know, results. And I said, you know, it's really what it is. It's in stock trade. So he started it, and it's been a more gradual growth. And then just recently it's kind of exploded in the last year or so. But I think it's, the reason for it is he said, why don't we, and now of course Amazon's doing the same thing, but why don't we, you know, sell in stock items and ship them out, you know, within mm-hmm. a certain amount of time, and they will do free shipping because it can go media mail, and, you know, it'll be a little different, and maybe we can do different sales and stuff like that. So it's grown into, you know, a crazy big thing. We have about, I don't know, 18,000 unique titles in the store. It's crazy. I mean, our Fort Wayne customers love it. They have the most incredible trade and hardcover warehouse that you could ever imagine, you know, that they get to shop every weekend. And, you know, it's kind of grown out of that. And the same graphic designer designed that website as who did our DCBS website. And he's out of Australia. He's fantastic. And he's actually doing redesigns for he did the upgrade on the Insect Trades one that we did, a year ago. Mm-hmm. And he's also working on a DCBS one right now. The DCBS site has just been, we're going to do a new site. It's going to be gorgeous. I can't wait. But with the acquisition, we had to kind of table it for a little bit and get some things done.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Now, you said within about a year ago or whatever, that's when you started to see a real explosion with the in-stock trades and stuff like that?
Yeah, you know, we really can't pinpoint it. I know that a lot of, we went to Wizard Chicago for many, for several years mm-hmm. advertising. So, I mean, like the last 2 years of Wizard that we went to, you know, we went as in-stock trades. And then we had a DCBS booth separately mm-hmm. To really advertise it. And that's what we used Wizard Chicago for, was advertising.
Makes sense, yeah.
But in the last year, you know, I honestly, we haven't been able to figure it out. I know he started deals of the week. He started trying to do more with just having a loyalty program. He asked actually a friend that is another podcaster. I'm sure you know him, Jason Wood.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And he said, hey, Jay, because he heard him, I heard him talking a lot about Amazon. And he said, hey, what makes you go back there? Mm-hmm. You know, can you give me some suggestions? And Jason had some really great suggestions, and Cameron used almost all of them, I think. And it really did help, like the loyalty program and the deals of the week. Or, you know, he and Cameron's always constantly, Insect Trades has been his baby for the last 7 years. And so he's constantly trying to figure out how to get more customers there and you know, keep them loyal. So,
well, I could see where that would be a very different kind of a customer base in some respects and different kind of a problem to solve, because with DCBS, you're likely to get somebody kind of like me who, you know, I get certain titles, I'm going to get them every month, and therefore, once you've gotten me hooked, I'll pretty much keep coming back. Mm-hmm. It's got that repeat business built in, whereas I could see where in the in-stock trades, it's like, well, I'll go pick up a volume of Walking Dead or Sandman or, you know, whatever trade du jour, and there's not as much, if really sometimes at all, of that, I'll go back and pick up the next.
Right. So and there's so many other places to get it, let's be honest, right?
Yeah.
And not just that, you know, if you miss, you know, Daredevil 33, you're not going to order Daredevil 34 or 35 or 36, or you know what I mean? Like, with single issues and collectors, period, you know, the monthly titles are, you know, it's it. You have to get them. You can't miss your regular monthly order. With trades, you can go 2 months and not order it, knowing that it's still in print, relatively speaking, you know, and, you know, you can get it a month or two later. There's not a dire need for it the way that it is with regular single issue books.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad to hear that part of the business is doing well, because, you know, I was one of those people for the longest time thinking that, yeah, trades, they're the way of the future. Everything's going to get collected. At some point, the balance will shift. That'll be the main revenue coming in for the publishers. And, yeah, they'll still do some single issues and stuff. But eventually, it'll all be trades. And I really don't think that's panned out at all.
No.
And now we've got digital coming in. So had you told me that, yeah, about 2 years ago, we noticed a drop-off and some stuff or something like that, I could say, well, you know, day and date digital, I could see where people are going there, but it sounds like the exact opposite's happening, that almost the day and date digital potentially is acting as a feeder system or replacement for the spinner rack, getting people who aren't at brick and mortar stores or your online store, whatever, into comics. Then they say, oh, well, you know, I can go get a trade. I wonder where I can go find a good one. Google, find your in-stock trades. Boom, they go.
Right. That's exactly it. I think many retailers were terrified of digital. We really weren't. They thought that it was going to basically, you know, just take all their customers away. Mm-hmm. But what it has shown is that it's actually giving us more customers. Or it's not necessarily giving us any new customers, but it's still making the publishers money for people who wouldn't step into our shops anyway.
Yeah.
I know that sounds weird, but I mean, there are people who will go on Comixology and probably never walk into a comic shop. And I'm okay with that as long as they're reading them. Mm-hmm. You know, but I think that everyone was worried about, you know, what digital was going to do. And what we found is it's selling a lot more trades.
Well, I think it's also, in addition to panning out that way from a sales level story-wise, it's been a really good counterbalance to the decompression caused by the trades. Because things that are being written original for digital, and DC's done a lot of that, they'll collect three of those into an issue. So you've almost got three times as many plot points, it seems like. Collect that into a trade, you get a really dense, fulfilling read.
Right, yeah.
And I think that's just good for everybody.
Actually, Cameron just had me read it was the Batman one. It's the
Legends of the Dark Knight?
Legends, yes. And I loved it. I thought it was great.
Have you been reading Injustice Gods Among Us?
No, but I know that's another digital first one, but I'll probably, sounds terrible, but I'll probably wait until the trade comes out in that one too. But I really did like Legends of the Dark Knight. And in fact, I had what I liked about it. It's almost like an anthology. Mm-hmm. But I like it because there were certain ones where I said, oh, I like this story a lot. And this one's good, but I really like this other one better. And as a casual reader of superhero comics, that I liked that a lot. I liked that I didn't have to know, you know, a whole lot about continuity or a storyline or anything like that. And I think those are fantastic for that customer who's never read a comic or doesn't really want to be that comic collector, but would like to read some good stories, you know.
I think it's hard at times to be a casual comic book fan.
It is.
Either you're in neck deep or you're puzzled sometimes, I think.
Yeah. Just in the last few years have I really started to read comics. When Cameron and I first met, he handed me Mystery Quarterly, which I loved.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I read as many as I could of those. Sandman, of course, and Hellblazer, and okay. Shade the Changing Man. Because I liked crime fiction, or I liked true crime books a lot, and just any sort of noir or something. So that's what he handed me, and I liked all of it. Mm-hmm. But then I got out of it, and I read my normal lady books, you know, the novels and the whatever. And just in the last probably 4 or 5 years have I really started to just start looking at everything. And I still read a lot of independent stuff. Like I'm a huge fan of graphics fan, Top Shelf, mm-hmm. Drawn and Quarterly, Oni. And I don't read a whole lot of superhero stuff, and it's not that I'm against it. I just tend to gravitate more towards the slice of life and the, you know.
I can totally understand that. Everybody's got certain types of stories that they like better than other types. No,
right.
None are better or worse than others. Sometimes
right, exactly.
The execution, depending on the creators, maybe. But
yeah.
Genre-wise, they're all equal in many respects.
I absolutely agree with you. And my biggest pet peeve is people who think that they're a better comic book reader because they read better stuff. That drives me crazy.
Well, along those lines, what drives me crazy is, you know, I'll sometimes, like at San Diego Con, be talking to somebody and like, yeah, you know, and I tell them how many books I get because it comes up in conversation. Mm-hmm. And invariably, there will be some creator within earshot of that. They'll hear I'm getting so many books a week, so many books a month, whatever, and they can't all possibly be great or whatever. And I'm like, well, no, they're not. And, you know, half the time, the person I'm talking to, sometimes their books, not the ones I'd put at the top of the list. Other times they are, you know?
Right.
But for me, it's I just love reading. I love reading mm-hmm. comics. And, you know, my reading list is pretty evenly split, about a third DC, about a third Marvel, and about a third other.
Mm-hmm.
And there are some people who get, you know, just a handful of comics, and they're convinced they are reading the best comics out there. Maybe they're reading the best for them.
Right.
But I've got a pretty good grasp on what's out on a lot of it. Certainly not all of it. I'm probably getting less than half the comics out there available.
I know, isn't that crazy to think, knowing how many you get? Yeah.
It's wonderful, though, and that's why I enjoy doing the preview spotlight and stuff, because having other people send in clips, Derek's from the Comics Alternative, he's usually spotlighting stuff out of Fantagraphics
mm-hmm.
or some of these other publishers that, frankly, just their material, as great as it may be, not the sort of thing I'm interested in.
Yeah.
You know, Damien used to always send in clips on more of the supernatural, darker, you know, stuff. Mm-hmm. Again, not an aspect of comics I tend to dive deep in. So getting that represented was great.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's one of the things that I find just wonderful about comics is there's such a variety of material out there. But I've got to imagine that great variety has got to be something that's both challenging and I guess frustrating at times for you guys to deal with.
Oh yeah.
I can only imagine how big the stacks of comics are, you know, for a new comic day at your place when you're putting all the stuff into the inventory areas and whatnot. And I'm sure people have got to be thinking, wow, we got so many of that. The story's okay. And so little of this, which is brilliant.
Yeah.
And regardless of what's deemed to be brilliant or not so much. Everyone's got their opinions and stuff, but.
Well, I have to say, we have a good mix of people, luckily, in the store that work my store. Mm-hmm. I have a young lady who is just a manga freak. I mean, loves anything manga and manga, and she's so sweet. But you wouldn't believe the number of manga or the amount of manga I sell in my store because of her. So I love it. But she also will delve into, she was all over Damsels by Dynamite, and okay. she'll try almost anything. And that's what I love about her.
Mm-hmm.
And then Taylor, who's my assistant, who also helps work the store, she reads everything. I mean, she's not a big, she tries anything though. I mean, she reads tons of Marvel, reads DC, reads everything almost that she can get her hands on. And her boyfriend is a huge comic reader. So between the two of them, she reads like practically, not full line, but I mean, she reads a lot of books. She reads a lot more than I do. And then my other assistant, Scott, who pretty much manages the store, he is the same way. He's a lot like Taylor, but he's a little more refined, you know, or I call him a comic book snob sometimes. but he reads DC and Marvel. It's not that he's not a, like a hate mainstream type of guy. He's just very discerning about, you know, what he reads, and because mm-hmm. he wants to be a writer. He's writing a comic for us right now that we're planning on publishing.
Cool.
But he's very, what I love about all of them is that they will show they're very good at figuring out, you know, what a customer wants, and also just pushing the edge a little and saying, hey, you should also try this out because I think you'd really like it. And they're very good at that. I had a mom in the store that just bought stacks of stuff. And I just could squeal with glee when I have a mom in with a couple of kids that are just, you know, ravaging the racks, and we had a 90% off ding and dent because it was, you know, Black Friday weekend. She goes, is that 90% for real? And Scott goes, oh yeah, it's for real. Come on over here. You know, and he brought her over and they grabbed a few more things. But I love that we have that diverse a product in our store.
Mm-hmm.
Because there are a lot of stores that just aren't that big and they can't be that big. And so they have to make some hard decisions on what they're going to, yeah, you know, offer to their customers. And, you know, we're lucky enough to be able to offer, you know, a lot more than most people are. But it also gives us a chance. And we've had our employees, actually, a lot of them who come in who don't read comics, who start reading comics. We actually encourage our employees every week to be a part of the employee pick of the week.
Mm-hmm.
So we let them take 3 books home every Tuesday night, as long as they read them, and they bring them back the next day and they tell us what their pick is. And they can do it every single week. They just check it. It's kind of like a library. They check it out with Taylor, and mm-hmm. Taylor knows what they took home with them, and they bring it back the next day. And we've really got a lot more employees involved in that too now.
That's great.
And I love it because then they deal with the product all the time. But if you actually like working with the product that, you know, and reading the product that you have, it just makes it all that more fun.
Well, I mean, being able to understand what a customer is enjoying about comics and knowing what other comics can fill that enjoyment, that need, that desire, mm-hmm. and pointing them to that is just an amazing thing for a store to have.
Oh, yeah.
The store I used to shop at out in San Diego, it's since shut down, but Comic Gallery in Mira Mesa, at mm-hmm. one point they had a guy there, Joe, and I mean, I was buying a lot of comics. Again, like I said, I always right. have. There was a period where he's like, you know, you ought to check out this Pantheon book by Lone Star Press by Bill Willingham. Mm-hmm. I'm like, Lone Star Press, what's this, or
yeah.
whatever.
Yeah.
Brilliant book. Loved it. Mm-hmm. He picked out just time after time after time, because he knew what I was getting. He talked to me. He understood what I was liking, what I wasn't. Mm-hmm. And he was able to find stuff that, again, fit my tastes very well. Not what he liked necessarily, although there was some definite overlap, but what he knew I would like.
Right.
And man,
and that is a big deal. That is a huge difference. I know a retailer, and I won't name them, but like, who actually said to me, I don't want to sell that to him because that's not good enough. They should be buying this. And I said to the retailer, well, I never tell my customers what they should buy. I mean, I tell them, hey, this is a great seller, or I really like this, or I know what you like, so I think you'll like this, this, and this. But I would never tell a customer, this isn't good enough for you to buy.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just crazy. And, you know, I certainly would love to make suggestions, but I would never let a customer or have a customer think that I think that whatever they read isn't good enough or isn't, there's nothing that, and this is what I try to tell my employees when we talk about books, because we have a book of the month club too. Mm-hmm. Last month we did Dynamite's Complete Battlefields. And, but I tell them all the time, you have to realize that people put a lot of their heart and soul into it. And whether you like it or not, there's somebody who took a lot of time to make this happen. Yeah. And a lot of people don't take that into consideration when they're ripping something to shreds. And I mean, I know because we've been working on Scott's book, you know, for 6 months now. And for somebody to just blatantly say, that's just crap, would be horrendous because we know how much hard work he's put into it and, you know, and all the time that's been put into it. So I'd let my employees know, especially the ones that work the store, that if you don't like a book, you know, you give a legitimate reason why you don't like it, but I never want to hear you say, you know, it's just crap.
Yeah, that's one of the things doing the reviews since, you know, I started that 7-8 years ago. Mm-hmm. I am hypercritical. I know this. I can nitpick something to death if I'm not careful, and sometimes even if I am. But I try to do it on a factual basis with right. the best of intentions. If I can offer constructive criticism, I will. There are a couple of places where, you know, I've read one or two that, frankly, were just bad comics. They didn't have to be. They weren't that way out of malicious intent on anyone's part or something, but they just missed the mark or whatever. And others that drive right. me nuts where it's so close to being a bullseye, but they just veered off and, oh, yeah. you know, mm-hmm. that little more help, it could have been so much better or whatever. And there are certain things that I know I will not read, I will not enjoy, because it's incredibly well done. Anything gory or horror or supernatural or suspense type stuff like that, mm-hmm. The better it is, the less I'll probably like it, particularly in the horror thing. That's difference in tastes.
You know, that's funny because I am not a horror fan at all for movies, but I love horror comics. I don't know why. I don't know if it's because there's enough of a disconnect for me.
I can see that.
Because I've never liked the movies. I mean, when I was younger, I watched like Friday the 13th, still scares me to death. But there's something about horror comics that I like. I don't know if it is the scariness. I mean, the first time I read the first 6 issues of The Walking Dead, I had nightmares for weeks. But I loved it. Like, mm-hmm. I loved that human element of it and everything else. And I'm still reading it to this day. I didn't read it from the very beginning. You know, I came in when it was like on issue 48 or something. But I devoured it. But I love, like, some of my favorites are like the Parker books are absolutely amazing. Mm-hmm. I adore them. And I loved Rasputin by Oni because I love anything that's even halfway historically accurate, anything historical, mm-hmm. Even if it's not historically accurate, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Well, and I read so much of its modern day superhero stuff that something that's set in a different time period in and of itself sets oh, yeah. it apart. Yeah.
Yeah. Now, I've never been a big fantasy fan, but what's funny is when Saga came out, Scott told me, oh my gosh, you have to read this. You have to read it. It's going to be the greatest thing. And I said, you know, I don't know, Scott. Yeah, I'll read it because it's Image and I'll give it a shot. And I read the first issue and I liked it, but I was like, I'm not sure. Mm-hmm. Because it was kind of that fantasy. And I read the second issue and I literally got tears. I was like, this is the greatest book I've ever read in my life. So it's amazing how, you know, and he pushes me to try stuff that I wouldn't necessarily try. And sometimes it works out and sometimes it doesn't.
Yeah, there's some stuff. There are a couple of things that Drew has talked me into reading that I wouldn't have otherwise. Private mm-hmm. Eye, Brian K. Vaughan's.
Darn it. I downloaded it and I haven't read it yet. Yeah.
Read that.
Yeah.
I think Saga is good. I think Private mm-hmm. Eye. To me, that's how digital comics should be done.
Okay.
I you know, Drew wanted to review the fourth issue. I'm like, okay, fine. So I download them. I'll admit, I did it for free because it was an option. Mm-hmm. Legally, even.
That's
I'll,
right.
I'll read the first one a week early. We'll see, you know. All right. You know, he's really big on doing it. We'll do it. Drew's a good guy. Okay, great. Mm-hmm. I read the first issue. I was hooked. I read the second. I read the third. I read the behind the scenes. I'm like, wow, this is amazing. Mm-hmm. You know, again, you connect the right reader to the right material.
Right. Oh, yeah, definitely.
It's amazing.
Yeah. Well, my key has been to try to get as many women as we can in the store. It helps that I have two women who work here, right? Mm-hmm. I have more than two women who work here, but two women that work the store. Actually, we have quite a few women that work for us. I mean, Brittany, Carrie, Michaela. We have probably of the 33 employees, which are counting Cameron and I.
33 employees.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah. I know I had to count it today for something. Yeah. So we have 33 employees, which is crazy in and of itself. But we probably 10 of those are women, you know, so we have a pretty big percentage of women just working here. Mm-hmm. But we actually have quite a big percentage of women walking in the store and buying comics all the time, too. I'm sure it helps that I've worked the store and Jenny and Taylor work the store. So women feel more comfortable in my store. But I think that's the kind of the golden egg right there. I mean, if we could get 50% of the women in the country reading comics, you know, we'd never have to worry about the comic industry, I think.
I think it'd be a wonderful thing. Yeah. I'm all for that for many reasons.
I am, and I am because, I mean, I know that, I mean, even superhero books are very appealing to women. So I just think that it's like anything, finding what that person enjoys in life in general. You know, what their favorite movies are, their books, their, you know, just any sort of interests. And we all, you know as well as I do, that there is a comic out there that's about that. Mm-hmm. And you can get anyone hooked. It's just making it accessible and convenient. And, you know, there are a lot of things that have to come into play for a woman to make that a regular part of her life.
Well, for anyone to make it a regular part of their life.
Yeah.
I've got a coworker who's a huge Star Wars and Star Trek fan, and I'm trying to get him hooked on the IDW Star Trek series because I think he'd really like it. But, you know, he's got a newborn, he's got another kid, he's got a wife, you know, the whole family thing. So it's just getting them to have the time.
Well, and I think that, I mean, if I weren't immersed in it every day, I don't know that I would come to a comic shop regularly as much as I love reading them now. Because it probably just wouldn't be a part of my life unless there was another person in my life that it was a part of their life.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that, you know, makes a big difference too.
I will admit that over the last 10 years, the number of trips to the comic store I make is way down from where it was before that. You know, mm-hmm. since I've been shopping with you guys, I go once in a while.
Yeah, of course.
You know, but it's, frankly, it's so much more convenient to, you know, once a week, swing by the UPS store where I've got a mailbox, pick mm-hmm. up my box, bring it home, open it up, plow through the stuff, and it's really cut my impulse spending down.
Well, I don't know if I like that. No, just kidding.
Well, hearing the way you've talked about some of your employees, I have a feeling if I were local and shopping at your store, I would be broke.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you would. I mean, they're really good. They're really good at really showing you what you need. And I mean, the thing is, we are all about convenience, right? I mean, mm-hmm. you can get them every week, you can get them twice a month, or you can get a nice big box at the end of every month. You know, I just did all of my Black Friday shopping online. I had to work, that's why. But for me, it's just as convenient to, you know, get everything online and have it delivered right to my door.
Yeah.
Because I'm busy. I have four children and run a business and, you know, I don't really have the time to go out and wait in long lines and things like that. And I think comics is one of the ones that are easier to do that with, obviously, because you know what you get every month. And of course you add things and try new things. But you know, that's why it's important for us to always maintain the customer service level and the efficiency level and the condition level and everything. Because, you know, if you don't, anybody could come around and take that business away from you if you don't take care of everybody.
Yeah. Yeah. I do recall at one point there was a competitor to you that I think is long since gone. But they were basically trying to win out based on deeper discount or something like that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And I had a number of people, why don't you go over there? Why don't you go over there? It's like, I'm very happy with DCBS. Mm-hmm. You know, because, again, it was that customer service. It was the known quantity of I'm going to get the books I want in the condition I expect on time, you know, that kind of stuff. And you're right. With an online business, you are one Google search away from every other competitor you've got.
Exactly. I mean, it's a constant. It's a constant reevaluation of everything. Now, we've grown so much over the years that, you know, luckily we've kind of maxed out our discounts with Diamond or, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. So we get a good discount through Diamond and we're able to give a better discount to the customer. But Cameron, I mean, even if we have things like where they liquidate something and it's, say, 70% off, he's like, oh, okay, well, we just have to make our margin. Let's give it to the customer. I mean, that's always kind of been his mantra is, you know, and he's told the publishers before, hey, if you'd give me an extra 5% off, I'd just give it to my customer. You'd sell more books, you know. you know, so he's always kind of been like that. And we've definitely dealt with our share of competitors over the years. But what they don't realize is it's harder work than they think. You know, it's easy to say, oh, yeah, I'm going to offer the same discounts. And you know what? I'm going to do you one better. Mm-hmm. But there's only so much you can do we've built this over the years and added things as we could. We could have never just opened up and said, this is what we're going to offer today. You know, so when we have competitors who do the same thing, we're like, oh, that's not going to work for them because we know what kind of structures we have in place that we've had to build over the last 14 years. It makes a big difference.
I do recall at one point downloading that month's Excel spreadsheet and realizing you had upped your discounts for us, mm-hmm. which is something that, frankly, most businesses I don't know would have done.
Yeah.
But to me, it's like, wow, you know, that's really cool. And I think between things like that, at one point, I think you dropped your shipping costs a little.
To flat rate
and stuff. You've also been amazingly supportive of the comic book podcasting community.
Mm-hmm. Which is funny. I was not on board for that to begin with. When Zach worked for us and, mm-hmm. You know, he said it and Cameron was all over it. He was like, yeah, let's do it. Let's do it. And I was like, what are you thinking? Like, well, because our budgets were always so tight. Right. And I said, you know, we don't know if this will work out. And because he kept adding them and adding them and adding them. And I'm like, do we even know how much we're paying out each month? And, you know, but then I did come around, obviously, and I've added some over the last few years. But it really is something that we're proud of now that we have been kind of in since the beginning and that we really support so many podcasts and, you know, and they support us, too. I mean, they're a great way of, you know, getting our word out.
I think it's a win-win combination because absolutely. I think if somebody can be listening to a podcast about comic books on their drive to work or something and getting reinvigorated into the hobby and stuff, re-energized and stuff, that's awesome. And if that happens to point them to you guys and they can find, oh, wow, I can get comics mail order. And it's so cost effective or whatever. I mean, mm-hmm. it's a win-win all the way around.
Well, especially for those people, like we get people at least probably once a month that say, I'm an hour and a half from a comic shop. Mm-hmm. I mean, we have definitely filled that sort of void for people who just can't afford to drive to a comic shop. It would cost them as much to drive somewhere. And most of the time they get there and they don't get a discount at all because they aren't a regular monthly customer. And so we've kind of helped with that respect. But it's funny that you mentioned how we up the discounts. We got a heads up that one of our competitors had said, this is what we're going to do. Mm-hmm. And they said they were going to do, like each year, they were going to add a percentage. And
really?
Cameron said, yeah, they said they were going to add a percentage discount. Like they were going to, I'm sorry, make it higher. So they were going to go from 35 and then to 36 the next year and then 37 the year and then, you know, hit 40 after on that fifth year. Mm-hmm. And Cameron said, you know what, let's just do it. Let's just cut them off at the pass and just do it. And they actually never went, I don't think, past the 37 or something. I don't think they ever made it to the 40. Because they really, I mean, it was a great idea. By us kind of doing it first. And then, you know, Cameron's constantly thinking, okay, who's doing this and how are we going to compete with this person? And we've luckily been able to negotiate some better rates with FedEx over the last year that's helped us maintain. That flat rate shipping. It's still every shipment that goes out the door, we still pay more. Our average package cost is much more than what people pay in flat rate shipping. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we're always constantly trying to find a way to get that down to where we can still maintain that $6.95 flat rate.
When I first started getting comics from you guys, it was, I think DHL was the carrier. Maybe it was UPS. I forget which.
Well, it was UPS first, and then we moved to DHL. Yeah.
UPS, mm-hmm. It took until Tuesday, the week after the books were on the shelf, to get to me.
Okay.
UPS, Monday. Now with FedEx, I'm getting them Friday evenings.
No, wow. That's awesome.
And just between that Monday and that Friday, that's a world of difference, because now I can read them that weekend versus the next weekend.
It is, and we said that to our staff when we work on month end, because month end, you're going to laugh, but they call it hell week here.
I can imagine.
And it was one of those weeks last week because, of course, Thanksgiving got sandwiched in, so we worked mm-hmm. the weekend too. And they work long hours. I mean, we work an 11-hour day on those days, and then they work later. Some of the staff will work 13-hour days on those days.
Books and all that stuff.
It's pulling books and packaging orders, and
that's not easy work.
It's tough. It's tedious, and it's really kind of mind numbing.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, we incentivize them. They get like if they work past their regular scheduled time, we give them these what they call negative points that they can use towards paid breaks, or if they had an absence that they got points for, they can take it off, and it just is. And kind of incentivizes them mm-hmm. to stay later, and it actually rewards them for actually, you know, really putting their best foot forward.
That's great.
But I mean, you know, that month end week is really, really crazy. So now that we've switched that, you know, and sometimes we go out on different weeks, you can choose to go for second or third week now. Mm-hmm. That's kind of helped a little. We'd love to get another, like, you know, good 500-600 people to switch into those other weeks. so the last week of the month isn't so crazy. It's just how it is. But when FedEx came to us and said, hey, we can give you better rates, we were like, okay, you know, just show us. You have to show us that you can give us better rates. And they did, but there were still some UPS rates that were better. So, you know, for a while, for about 6 months, UPS and FedEx kind of had like a little, you know, brawl. And so sometimes people would go UPS and sometimes people would go FedEx. And we hated that it was like that, but we essentially have a labeler where the package gets put up there. We scan the package and it tells us the least expensive method to ship it
mm-hmm.
between USPS, UPS, and FedEx. And so that's what we were doing because we had to with the flat rate shipping. And when FedEx offered home delivery at the prices that they gave us, we were thrilled because the customers are getting their packages on Saturday now.
Yeah.
So they don't have to wait the whole weekend.
That happened to me this weekend. I was afraid since I didn't get it Friday, I'd be waiting until today, Monday. But I got it on Saturday. It was awesome.
Yeah. And we love that. I mean, we love that option that they have. But we tell that our staff even that, you know, our goal is always to have it done by Friday at 6 o'clock, which is the last FedEx pickup on month end.
Mm-hmm.
But it's very difficult to get to that. But we tell them every package that makes it out by then, those people are not waiting over the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And we know how important it is to do that because we understand. I mean, no one likes waiting. It's those 2 days in the middle, you know, that you actually have time to read that you want your book. So, yeah.
So how many trucks does it take to pull the month end stuff out of your parking lot or whatever? I've got to imagine it's a big amount of stuff.
It is. U.S. Postal Service does a pickup every single day and so does FedEx. FedEx will sometimes bring 2 or 3 box trucks a day, depending. Today, I left actually before they all came, but I have to think that they took at least 2 box trucks out of here. We had a lot of packages that we finished, you know, Friday night late and then all day Saturday. I mean, it's several thousand packages. And with UP or with In-Stock Trades, you know, we've got that whole other side of the business too.
Mm.
So, you know, USPS, they bring these big metal gated, like rolling carts in mm-hmm. that are, you know, like, I don't know, 6 feet tall or whatever. And they're like cages. Okay. They're rolling cages. And, I mean, we fill 3 and 4 of those up a day.
Wow.
Just for in stock trade sometimes. So, I mean, it's a constant in and out. It's amazing. I'm still amazed. Every week, we got, I don't know, 9 pallets of merchandise in last week, for month end. I mean, we get an entire pallet of previews. It's crazy.
Wow.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's a lot of merchandise that we take in and a lot that goes through. So when, you know, we have many checks and balances with damaged books and, mm-hmm. you know, whatever, but that's how sometimes things slip through the cracks, even though we have those, if people are being almost too efficient and going too quickly and really trying to make sure that they're getting done things done quickly, that sometimes things slip by. But usually someone else catches it on the other end. So,
well, again, like I said, 10 years, a few mistakes have been made on my stuff. Very few, but what's really impressed me is every time one of those has happened and I've had to email and say, hey, what about, I've virtually always gotten a fast response, a courteous one, and a very helpful one. And I can't think of a, I can't think of a single case where the problem wasn't easily and quickly and painlessly from my perspective resolved.
Well, I'm glad. I know that there are times where we get just bombarded with email. And we have a regular staff, but sometimes it's just like it comes out of nowhere. And so we're not as quick as we'd like to be. But we do take it very seriously, our responses. And I mean, it's always the taking care of the customer, and the customer is always right. With the DC 3D covers, mm-hmm. which was really probably the worst thing that happened to us this year.
Really? Explain. Tell us more. Because I recall the email you sent out saying, we're not going to get enough. Are you okay with just the 2D? And I'm like, you know, would I like the 3D? Sure. Would I like a matched set of everything? Definitely. Yeah. Will this make DCBS's life easier? Hey, maybe. If so, awesome.
Well, we had wonderful customers like you, and well, they're all wonderful, but who said, you know what, I don't mind, and it's not a big deal. Mm-hmm. And then we had some people who were very upset, who really it was out of our hands. DC, they set the print runs. They did. They set the print runs, and they thought they were printing just a ridiculous amount. And when it all was said and done, they didn't have enough for everybody. So, you know, we had many people who ordered multiple quantities. So we were like, okay, please volunteer. Cause we knew some people wouldn't care, right? Mm-hmm. Some people just wanted to read the story. They didn't care about the covers. And so we were lucky enough to have a lot of people who just said, yeah, go ahead, give me the 2Ds. I don't care. And then when we received them and then counted them in and made sure, you know, we didn't have damages and things like that, which, by the way, if all of those books could be made in those covers, I'd be thrilled. Cause we only had like, I think literally 4 damages out of the thousands and thousands of that we received.
Nice.
Those covers were amazing. But it was just the nightmare of, I mean, Cameron worked tirelessly just drafting the emails and, you know, checking the numbers constantly and making sure that we were taking care of as many people as we could. And I mean, we had to do it on a one for everyone kind of basis until mm-hmm. we ran out. It was just a very, very long month. And those poor emailers, you know, because they were constantly having to answer all the excess email involved with that and switching, not switching. I'm mad at you. You know, no, it's not a problem, but I want this instead. And it was just, it was a really tough month. We came out fairly, you know, unscathed. I don't think anyone left us over it. But it was very hard. It was very difficult because it's difficult when we can't do anything about it. Mm-hmm. I mean, we placed our orders, you know, we took the orders and we placed them, and we were in constant contact with DC too, letting them know, you know, what our numbers were like. And they were actually wonderful. DC was really wonderful trying to, you know, do the best that they could with what had been given to them at that point. And, you know, now we have excess of a lot of the ones that weren't problems, and we'll probably eventually sell those, you know, in some way. I don't know, but that was probably the worst part of the year for us was just trying to maintain the customer service for all other customers that didn't even know what was going on because they didn't even order it, right?
Yeah.
And then having to take care of everyone else and making sure that we were taking care of people correctly.
That was, I think, a really interesting cover gimmick that DC did, but I think the messaging on how late in the game it was announced that they weren't going to have enough, they were going to be doing allocations and stuff like that, it would have been nice if that had been handled smoother and in a way easier for retailers like yourself to handle that. Because, I mean, you're kind of caught in the middle at that point.
Yeah, well, you know, the difference is that most retailers do not run off our business model. So, true. You know, our business model is pre-order, right? Mm-hmm. So every pre-order we take in is an order that we're filling. And that's what, you know, 98% of the businesses don't run like, and 99.9 probably of the businesses don't run that way. They say, oh yeah, I sold 3 of Detective, so I'm going to order 10 of them.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's no, it's all shelf copies. And then they, of course, have their subscription customers. I know that. But, you know, we have, all of them were sold. That was the problem. I mean, we weren't trying to get store copies. They were just all sold.
You knew you had customers for those, not right. You thought you might. Yeah.
Right. That's exactly what we told DC. And they, it's hard for them, and they understand it. They get it. I mean, they know what our business is. But on the other hand, they were like, I you know, we've got to take care of everybody. So it is a little different. It's great because, you know, for us, our business model works really well for us because it's already merchandise that we've sold. So, mm-hmm. You know, we do our best to maintain the least amount of inventory because, of course, any excess inventory is pretty much dead product within a few months, especially in singles.
Yeah.
And then I have to sell it to for a ridiculous cut rate. I mean, we had 90% off back issues last, you know, Black Friday, mm-hmm. Because I need to get rid of those because I don't need them. That's not what we're in business to do. We're in business to sell everything pre-ordered and new and then, of course, the collected editions that have more of an evergreen life to them.
Well, yeah, because if you were to start doing back issues and stuff, suddenly you're competing with Mile High, MyComicShop.com, places like that. Yeah. And that's a very different business. You're right.
It is an incredibly different business. And, you know, I don't know that they... I mean, they make money off of what they do in that respect, but I don't have the warehouse space for that. I don't have, and it's a completely different, I mean, it's sometimes you have to wait those out.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, I don't like paying taxes on stuff like that for years and years and years because I think it may be worth something someday. You know, I just need to focus on. And so we realized, Cameron especially, realized early in the game that, you know, this is what we do and this is what we do best and we need to, you know, do what we do best and not try to, because I was like, oh, maybe we should buy collections. And, you know, I've always got some crazy scheme. He calls me Lucy Ricardo.
Oh, because
I've always got some crazy idea that we could do. And he's like, no, let's focus on the, you know, on what's important and what we really need to do to maintain the business and the growth.
Well, it sounds like it's really paid off because, again, you seem to still be growing.
Yep.
As far as I can tell, you've got a happy customer base. I know I'm very happy and stuff.
Yeah, as far as we know, too. I mean, you'll always have some people who aren't, but no, we have a very, we have a wonderful customer base. I mean, we constantly get, you know, really nice emails and thanks and even well wishes just on the holidays and things like that. So it's great. Even though we don't know them, we feel like we know them, you know?
Well, again, it wasn't until San Diego this year that I'd actually met you guys face to face. But again, we've been trading emails and stuff for 10 years.
Right, exactly.
Buying a ton of books and stuff from you guys. So it's like, yeah, I know them, but I've never met them. It's very odd.
Mm-hmm.
But it's, again, it's worked out really well, I think, for everyone involved. You guys are doing a great thing, and I think you offer a really good alternative for people who, like you were saying earlier, maybe an hour and a half away or further from a comic shop, or maybe they're near one, but it just doesn't work for them for whatever reason.
Right.
You know, I think people should support their local comic shops and such, but, you know, I've got...
I do too. I have one. I am a local comic shop.
Oh yeah, that's the thing.
So I know exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of people don't get is you know, you have that brick and mortar store. So, mm-hmm. I mean, I am supporting a local comic shop, just not my local, which I know the owners of the one nearby are probably, you know, not as happy about that as they could be. But
yeah,
yeah, you know, they also didn't open up until many years after I'd been going with you guys. But it's also one of those things that just for me, the convenience factor of getting the Excel order form, filling that out, being able to, mm-hmm. to see how my order's totaling up, you know, send that in and magically get a box of comics every week. It's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, if only everything in our life was like that, right? I wish I could do that with a grocery store.
Yeah, yeah.
That would be the best ever. Yeah.
As long as they had the attention to detail that you guys have, because I got food allergies, I'd be a little worried on that one. But
that's
yeah.
true. You would. Yeah, you'd have to set up your own pull list and
no substitutions. None of the wrong variant cover type things. You know,
that's right. Yeah,
I will admit.
No, we have. I mean, we are a local shop. I know a lot of people. Mm-hmm. They think that we're probably just some big warehouse, and you know that but we really do. I mean, we run a shop. It's really important to me, the local customer base. And that's why when we bought this new building, all of Insect Trades is actually going to go back into the warehouse and we're going to have just a regular shop.
Oh, okay.
And I shouldn't say regular shop. It's still going to be the best shop in Fort Wayne. but we're actually going to add gaming. We're going to carry games. And we're going to have family game nights, and we're going to have story time in the kids section on Saturdays. And we just really want to be a big part of the community in that respect.
That sounds really awesome, actually. Yeah.
Yeah. And we're going to add a coffee shop to it that'll be kind of in the center of the store. And we want it to be really a fun place for everybody to come to. I mean, we've always kind of been family friendly anyway, but it won't have as much of a warehousey look. It'll be more like a comic shop, but you know, cool and hip, but still, you know, accessible and fun for kids. And
I'm assuming you're going to put up like tons of photos and stuff on the website when the store opens.
Oh yeah, it's going to be a big deal. It's we're hoping to have the grand opening in June, and that'll actually be our 15th anniversary.
That sounds great.
Yeah. I mean, I want to have a huge, like, have creators in the store for signings. And, you know, I really want to make it a really big deal.
Let me know when that's going to be. I would like to physically be in your store at some point.
Yeah, that would be awesome. I know we were telling the 11 o'clock guys about it, and they said, oh, my God, we might have to fly out for that one. So, yeah, no, I'm very excited about it. And it's four times the size of what we have here. Mm-hmm. It's a 31,000 square foot building.
Wow.
And it's perfect. It's perfect. It needs some work, and that's what we'll do once we, you know, close on it. And, we're going to make the warehouse tremendous so that the employees like working in it, mm-hmm. like they do now, but, it's going to be pretty incredible. It's the next step for us.
Now, when did you open up the physical store?
Well, we kind of opened it, you know, about 10 years ago when we moved into that industrial park.
Okay.
We had like a little, like people would email us and say, hey, we're in Fort Wayne, or they'd drive by and they'd say, hey, are you open? So we had kind of a thing where we'd say, okay, well, I mean, my desk was right next to the door. So we're like, okay, well, as long as I'm here, I can help customers that come mm-hmm. in. And then we started having kind of store hours and things like that. This store has always been a store though, that we're in now, and we've been here 5 years. And we've always had a storefront here.
Okay.
We still have like limited hours. We're only open Wednesday through Saturday. Sunday is a dead zone in this particular shopping center. Mm-hmm. And then Monday is, also very slow because the BMV who is next to us is closed.
Mm.
And then Tuesday is our shipment day. So we were like, no, we're not. We get a lot, you know, we have a lot to do on shipment days. So it was just kind of a natural Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, we're not open. But Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, we're open like 11 to 7. And then on Saturday, we're open 10 to 5. So it's been enough for customers to, you know, be able to learn about us and, you know, work their schedules around, and we always make, you know, hold stuff for people in case they can't make it in 1 week or something like
that. Right, right. Now, with the gaming stuff, is that going to be board games? Is that going to include role-playing games?
It's going to include it all.
And are you planning, like, an online contingent for that, a la, like, a DCBS in stock trades for role-playing games?
We are.
Because that would be very dangerous for my wallet.
That's actually something that's coming down the pike. We've already purchased the URL. The URL's in stock games, right, Cameron? Yeah, so we have two... they're not even in the works yet. We have the URLs, and that's as far as we've gotten. In-stock games will be something that two of my managers will be working on and fulfilling. And then in-stock toy shop will be another one.
Oh, dear. Do I even want to know what you're going to have there?
Yeah. So it's essentially the in-stock trade, you know, in-stock trades, but it's going to be in-stock games.
Uh-huh.
Alliance Games is in town here, so we can get everything like the next day. So we're really going to work with them to fill up the store with really great games, and we're going to make sure we're always doing game demos in the store. And then we're going to – the two guys that will be running that site for me or fulfilling out of that site are game players themselves. And, you know, they do Magic. They do, you know, all sorts of role-playing games, and they love board games too. So they've been demoing games with the employees the last few weeks.
That's cool.
And then we'll start doing that because I've wanted to do like a family game night in the store for a couple of years now, but we just don't have the space.
Mm-hmm.
And we definitely will with the new store. So, and then the in-stock toy shop will essentially be the same thing too. We just have to work with Diamond to make sure that we know what's in stock every single day. And it'll be something where it's like updated every morning on what's in stock and what we can order. And it'll usually ship in, you know, 48 to 72 hours and that type of thing. So that's kind of, we want to get to that concept of, you know, that impulse buy, but also it's there, it's in stock. I know I'm getting it in a week, you know, type of thing. So that's kind of the natural progression for us. And because in stock trades is doing so well, we figured those are the two aspects that we'd really like to grow. Toys used to be a huge part of our business. And they really took a dive several years ago, and we've never really quite gotten it back.
Well, it's interesting because I noticed my own purchases. I was getting all the DC Direct toy action figures and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And then it was around 2008-ish when, you know, the company I was working for went belly up. I cut way back on my spending.
Mm-hmm.
And my action figure purchases just dropped to like nothing up until really just a few months ago.
Right.
Then I discovered the SH Figure Arts Super Sentai toys, which I have now a sizable collection of. So the fact that I could be getting them through you in the future sounds great, too. I mean, I've gotten actually a few through you through just when they're ordered in previews.
Right. Well, and apparently there's, you know, like we will have somebody at Diamond will be able to help us with actually getting access to some of those things that, you know, aren't necessarily available through previews, and it's a pretty daunting task, but something that I'm pretty excited about, adding that, you know, to the DCBS umbrella, so to speak. But again, the focus is to finish out the Tales of Wonder acquisition and get the DCBS new website up, and then that's when we start on in-stock games and in-stock toy shop.
Hey, that makes sense. Grow slowly, but steadily and solidly.
Right.
Don't overexpand. Don't lose your focus or whatever. You know.
Right.
I think you guys have done a really good job the entire time I've been with you and stuff. And I'm really excited about both the new store you're talking about. That sounds awesome. And the two new websites when they come into being. Certainly keep me in the loop on that. I'll promote them.
Oh yeah, definitely.
As best I can, and probably buy from them as best I can. But yeah, no, that sounds great.
Yeah, if we don't think we have enough to do, right? There's not
my checkbook's not completely empty, therefore.
Yeah, that's right. We figure we can find, you know, somebody. We can squeeze a few more dollars out, right?
Well, what gets me is I am able to buy more through you guys because of the discount, because of the ease of ordering and all that stuff, than I could any other way, including digitally. I mean, yes. I'm paying like 20 cents less a copy for a print copy than right. I'd be paying for the digital version.
Which is definitely why we haven't seen, you know, the hurt that maybe some others have seen with digital becoming a big part of the industry, because we're still less expensive than digital. So, I mean, I get it. I personally don't know that I could possibly buy comics if I didn't have, you know, the discount that we have.
If I had not found you guys 10 years ago, there is a decent chance I would have just stopped reading comics.
Mm.
I was really, you know, kind of put off by the way the retailer had treated me. I was right. a loyal customer and stuff like that.
I know. I'm surprised that they didn't do something where they said, I'm going to have to ratchet down the discount, you know, slowly or whatever. That's crazy.
Well, the part that was really stuck with me was, I went in on a Wednesday and I got a form letter that was in with my comics, my pull list, dated the previous Friday.
Mm-hmm.
So I could have had an entire weekend, a couple of days extra to get used to it before going in and stuff.
Right. Yeah.
That would have almost doubled the amount of time I had.
Right.
Not to say it would have been enough, but they had my email address, they had my phone number, they knew my boss.
Right. Yeah.
They had every way to get in touch with me, and they didn't.
Especially, I mean, considering the fact that you were a very good, big customer of theirs, you know, like that they wouldn't have. I'm always amazed by people in any retail environment who don't really think about, they make snap judgments,
mm-hmm.
And they don't think about the consequences of how their customer's going to react. And I don't know if it's because they think, oh, well, I'm the only game in town, you know, they're just going to have to live with it. Or if it's just, they just don't have that sense of having to take care of the customer. They just assume that they'll just be okay with it and that's it.
Well, and I'm not suggesting they should have emailed just me, but I mean, email all of their customers or something.
Right. Yeah. I mean, absolutely. I mean,
they weren't the only game in town. As it turned out, I went out of town and have done much better.
Yeah.
So
I mean, good for us, but yeah.
in the age of the internet, you've got to assume that your competition is planet wide.
Well, and I think that's a big, you know, I mean, especially in the last even 10 years, I think that a lot of shop owners have realized that. And it also brings to the forefront the good owners and the bad owners. I mean, and in every business, there are good retailers mm-hmm. and bad retailers. Luckily, with the internet, you can find out who those bad retailers are pretty quickly. And you have the option to use, you know, the good ones. So yeah. It's definitely been a great, you know, it's been a great experience for us. We always remind, you know, even our email team, because they're not, you know, speaking to you one-on-one, you have to really make sure that you're evoking the sense of whether it's, you know, thanks, appreciation, mm-hmm. general, or genuine, you know, I'm really sorry that happened, or, you know, we apologize that this mistake happened, or we're so, you know, or just on the other end. You really kind of have to make sure, because you're dealing with the internet, that you're going just that step above.
Yeah, it's easy for stuff in an email to get either misconstrued or whatever.
Right.
I had to, at work today, it was open enrollment for health benefits, and I had to email the HR person a time or two. Mm-hmm. Wonderful woman. She's done a great job with our benefits, etc. And I have no doubt that since today was the due date, she was getting
yes.
pounded by more than just me. And there were a couple where the replies were yes. You know, and it's like, yeah, I would have liked a little more than that, but yeah. I get it.
I get that you're busy, but you could say yes with a wink or yeah.
Or yes, you are done. Yes, yes. This will work.
Yeah. Anything more, yeah.
A little more context, so I know you're answering the question I was asking, not what you thought, you know, whatever. It was not a big deal, right. But
mm-hmm.
yeah, it's funny. So anything else you want to tell either current customers, prospective customers, or other listeners and stuff, other than they should be shopping with you because you're awesome?
Yeah. That's true. We are awesome. You know, I don't know. As far as I'm concerned, I mean, we have the best prices on the web and the best customer service that we could possibly give. And I mean, if you're not using us, you're crazy. You know, that's all I can say.
I got to agree with that. A while back, it's up on my forum, I did a cost analysis on it. What's the break-even point? How few comics could you get, and it still makes sense to do mail order with you guys? Mm-hmm. And just for a flat break-even, I think it came down to like 5 or 6 copies, issues or whatever. And I'm like, really? Wow.
Yeah.
Okay, what if you went weekly? And I think it was like 18 or something low. Yeah. Because mm-hmm. I'd heard a lot of people, oh, well, I'm not buying enough to be worth it. It's like, you know, do the math.
You know, we have a lot of customers who order $25 a month. And that's their budget, and it works for them. And, you know, they get regular monthly shipment. They don't necessarily order weekly. Mm-hmm. And we have weekly customers who really, you know, I mean, they don't necessarily buy a lot. But they buy enough to make it worth their while to get, you know, those shipments every week. So, yeah, I mean, it's not difficult to, and even international customers, we have quite a few Canadian customers, mm-hmm. and it still makes sense for them. An Australian customer told me, he said, you know, even, and he orders a lot. I mean, he orders several hundred dollars a month, but he said it's worth it because the savings that I get more than makes up for my shipping.
Yeah. Yeah. It's something that if anyone's remotely interested in, they can download. I use the Excel spreadsheets. I think those are wonderful. Mm-hmm. Download one of those for the current month. Put in your order. See how it shapes up. See if it works out for you.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. And I mean, we have, you know, you can order by Excel order form. We have the shopping cart. Mm-hmm. We have the pull list feature, which isn't an automatic order maker. I mean, it makes your order for you when you click the button, but, you know, it doesn't automatically create your order every month. And that's something that I've talked to Cameron about, that it would be great to have a subscription service. But that's a whole other ball of wax, I'll be honest with you.
I would say with the way the industry's moving, that has less usefulness these days than it used to.
It does, because people change their minds so quickly. They don't understand that, you're going to take that inventory on because you've already ordered it 2 months, you know, prior. So that's why we work the way we work, is mm-hmm. that you have to make the commitment by placing that order every month. And we understand that things happen, and there are months where customers can't place an order that month. And we have added a few things, like people actually, you know, just forget. So now we have the little email that goes out and reminds you that you might have missed your order last month or something like that.
I would not be adverse to you sending an email out about 4 or 5 days before the order's due, reminding me to send it in. Because there have been a couple of times I've gotten to the last minute thinking, did I send that in or not?
Okay. I'll write that one down. Yeah. I'm sure forgetful. That we've probably done that before, too. And Cameron usually does it, I think, after the deadline, but it would be a good idea to do it maybe 4 or 5 days before the deadline. You know, we always take late orders. That's another thing that mm-hmm. some mail order stores don't.
I took full use and abuse of that when I got my job after being out of work for 6 months. Mm-hmm. That was a huge order I placed there. So, yes, you definitely do that, and much appreciated.
Yeah. And we always do our best to fill absolutely everything from that. I mean, like anything, there are things that happen where, you know, we get shorted or mm-hmm. things come damaged or there's a printer defect or something crazy like that. But generally speaking, you know, we take care of late orders very easily and efficiently.
Yeah, there have been a couple of times I've realized I've forgotten to, normally when I'm putting in like this month's order, I realize I'd forgotten to order something last month because I'm, mm-hmm. it's like, oh, so it's like, can you add this? Yeah. 9 times out of 10, you can't. Sometimes, you know, you can't for whatever reason. And that's right. Cool. I know, you let me know. I look for it elsewhere. But it's, again, it's so easy to deal with you guys. And the service is so great. Again,
well,
I'm really pleased.
Well, I'm glad.
And, you know, again, I appreciate being able to pick out a couple of picks every month for the preview spotlight and whatnot.
Oh, yeah.
You guys have been a friend of the show since many years before it started. and I apologize for taking so long to do a retailer spotlight on you.
But, no, that's okay.
And this is not necessarily Cameron's a one-time offer. As you get, you know, new websites online, we can do this again.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Cameron is not the talker of the group. He's the brains, and I'm the talker. So that's why he's not on. He's kind of shy, even though He's good one-on-one. He's not usually big in group situations.
No, I totally get that. And I did get him on for a back issue spotlight on the Super Sons once.
Oh, I remember that. Yeah.
It was a lot of fun. Talking with him and stuff at San Diego too. But yeah, the whole podcast thing's not for everybody. I get that.
Yeah. He's definitely not into that. I mean, he listens, but yeah.
But the cleverness of how you guys are running your business and the thought that goes into it is clear from my perspective, because just the way you do some bundling some months, some other discounting, things like that. There are a couple of books I am continuing to get. All-Star Western's a good example. Mm-hmm. I don't think I would have necessarily tried that if that had not been part of the new 52 bundle you guys did when the book started.
That was Cameron's idea, the bundles. And those have actually turned into be something that is really a great way for us to do exactly what you said, get people to try things that they wouldn't normally try or to continue to get things. We've been doing Valiant bundles for, the last 2 years? Mm-hmm. Yeah. And there are a lot of people who say, wow, I would have never tried, Bloodshot if it weren't for the bundles. And he does kids bundles now too. It's mm-hmm. also a great way to like anything for customers to feel like they're getting a good value, which they are, of course. I mean, they're getting a good value anyway. But the bundles just make it even easier.
Yeah. It does. There comes a point where I look at a couple items on the order form and it's like, how can I not buy that?
Right.
Boom's doing a dollar first issue. You guys have it like a 50 or 55% discount or something crazy.
Right. Yeah.
It's like it would cost me almost more not to get it. Jeez.
I know. Well, especially when you find out it's good and then you have to go find it later and it, mm-hmm. It's sold out. So, yeah. I mean, I always say try every image number one. I mean, there's no harm in it because you don't want to miss anything really good. So.
Yeah. And again, there's so much great stuff out there.
Oh, yeah.
Well, cool. We should definitely talk around the time you get the other websites up, the new store and stuff, see how that's going. That sounds very exciting. Again, I've been a very happy customer of you guys for 10 years. You're doing a great job. I hope all the listeners have taken this opportunity to kind of get to know you, get to know your business and stuff, how you guys do stuff, why you guys do stuff, and we'll check you out because it's well worth doing.
Well, I appreciate that.
Cool. The show notes and forum for this podcast can be found at www.comicbookpage.com under the podcast and forum sections of the website. Please email us at theguys@comicbookpage.com and let us know what you think of what was discussed in this episode. Thanks for listening.